There's things that I do that are probably super annoying to you, but they're dumb things. And same for you. Like, they're dumb things. And so I need to realize, oh, this is not, like, this is dumb.
Yeah. Is it when I sometimes chew with my mouth open?
I mean, I'm not going to talk about anything specifically, but if you want to think about that a little bit and maybe do it less.
Well, now the kids do it too sometimes. We all get there. We're so hungry. And I could see Claire's just like,
oh, this is not your problem. This is me.
The kids will even ask sometimes, Dad, what's wrong with Mom? I'm like, I think we're all just eating and chewing really loudly. And
it's fine.
Hey, guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. It's a podcast that's all about empowering men to become who God created us to be. My name's Adam, but what I'm really excited about today is my guest, the beautiful, lovely, amazing Claire Zastrow. Thank you, babe, for joining me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is going to be fun. We did an episode, it was almost a year ago, on just audio. You can find it on Apple and Spotify. In that episode, we talk a little bit about our story. And so let's just give them like an overview. I think, remember a few weeks ago when Izzy did this at the table, we had company and they asked us like, well, how'd you guys meet and how'd you propose and what's your story been like? And Izzy just jumped right in there. I'm not supposed to bang the table. She jumped right in there. And our oldest daughter told our story. It was so great. But why don't you give your perspective, how we met, how we started dating, getting married, having kids, like the 5-minute version or something like that.
Man. I would love it.
Come on.
Yeah, it was our favorite. I loved listening to Izzy share her perspective from how we met. Yeah. It was hilarious and accurate because she's heard us tell it over and over again. And it was really fun to hear her because our story is their story.
That's
they're going to share that story, and it's really fun. So anyway, prelude to me answering your question. Yeah. Yes. So we met in college.
That's right.
You were a sophomore, I was a freshman, and I came to your dorm room because I had a question about something in scripture, and I knew there was a Bible study in our dorm, and so I'm like, hey, I'm going to go find the Bible study leader. I've got this question. So I'm walking down to your room, to your dorm room.
Yeah.
I kind of knock on the door. Your door was open. I'm like, hey, is Adam here?
I'm doing homework. I'm like studying.
That's not true.
No, not true at all.
I knock on the door and I see Adam sitting about like this far from the TV on a stool playing video games.
Madden 2003. I mean,
intensely invested in this video game. So I knock on the door. You turn your stool towards the door. And I was like, hey, is Adam here? And your response was classic. And like, I'm pretty sure you might have done it. Do the face. Like, you might have done that. Like, yeah, I'm Adam. That's like, sweet. Quick follow-up question.
You were smoking hot. You had the black leather jacket. You were walking in. I'm like, who is this sexy woman asking for Adam? Hello. What a good day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's after like, that.
Yeah, I'm Adam. I can help you. Absolutely.
Follow-up question, quick thereafter,
is
great, the Bible study leader, to which you respond with a stoic no, and then you turn your chair back to the TV and continue playing video games.
Yeah. That was our first interaction.
It's our first interaction.
A match made in heaven.
I fell in love right away.
I was a little bit immature. Still am sometimes.
My favorite. Yeah. I love how we met.
My roommate's name was Adam.
It was the roommate's name, Adam, who was the Bible study leader. So and Adam and Adam that year, which fast forward, I become great friends with both of you.
Yeah.
And in the room that day was a dear friend of ours, Lori, also. And she talked to me that day, and I got invested in this group of friends who love the Lord and were passionate and joyful and imprinted on me that from the very beginning, which was pretty cool. And then, we were friends for a good probably year and a half.
Yeah.
But secretly, maybe not so secretly, I liked you the whole time.
We were crushing pretty hardcore. Yeah.
Anytime there was an opportunity to go somewhere with you or had to do something, I was like, I'm in. I will volunteer. I got it. It was great. And then, so we were friends for about a year and a half. We decided, yes, as we prayerfully considered, do we start dating? What does that look like? I remember on a January day, it was super cold. You asked, after lots of conversations, you asked me to be your girlfriend, but intentionally.
Yeah.
To pursue towards marriage.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just going to be messing around here. So, yeah, we started dating.
It was like, don't date me. Don't be my girlfriend if you're not willing to aim for marriage.
Yeah.
And by the way, I was like, I think I might just be a missionary in Africa. Like, this might be the life you're signing up for. I don't know. I might work the inner city. I just feel like called to do something like that.
Yeah.
So just, I'm warning you now. You might want to say no and run
the
for the hills.
End, right? No, I said a resounding yes,
because
you were super cute and I loved you a lot already. So yeah, we started dating and then we dated for, gosh, a year and a half also?
Yeah, another year, year and a half.
Before we got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Engaged for probably 6 months.
Married right after I graduated.
Yeah,
you were still in college.
I was still in college.
Yeah.
Izzy was just looking through some of our photos the other day and she's like, Mom, these are when you were pregnant with me. And she's our oldest. She's going to turn 17 soon. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So awesome.
So great. Our kids are wonderful. She's looking at these pictures and she asked, were you still in school? It's like, I sure was. I was finishing up my last year of college. We were married. We had gotten pregnant with Izzy and I walked my graduation stage like really pregnant with her. I remember celebrating in the party where she graduated college with
me. What we didn't tell the listeners is that you graduated high school pregnant too.
Totally. That's
and that's
true.
Part of your story.
That's part of our story. Tune into the first episode to listen more of that.
Right, right. So God like was doing some wild stuff in your life. I mean,
totally.
you lost your birth dad when you were 9.
Mm-hmm.
You got pregnant in high school. And we still know that baby boy.
Yeah.
Baby boy, right? Austin is 22 now.
Almost.
Oh, yeah, you're right. In like a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just cool. Like, God's just obviously been at work writing a really beautiful story.
Totally.
But when you're in it, you don't always see it. Like,
right.
Your senior year of high school, coming into college, you probably didn't think, wow, God's doing awesome things.
No.
You probably
vastly
stressed
different.
Out and worried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And wondering, why is this all happening? God, where the heck are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. And then even in our dating time in college, that just formed us so much because we became really close and tight friends with a group of a couple dozen people who were just going hard after Jesus.
Yeah.
Like when we watched that movie a year ago, The Jesus Revolution, which takes place in the 60s and 70s, we were like, we lived that.
It
was the early
normal.
2000s version, but like that was our college experience.
Absolutely.
Just a bunch of people having a ton of joy, ton of fun, but like also really bold about, dude, if you don't know the Lord, you really need to.
Absolutely.
And we can show you how good and wonderful he really is. Just walk with us for a little bit. It was interesting. Then
it's a beautiful season.
Had a baby.
Our first.
Had three babies.
Have three
in
now.
In our 20s.
I mean, three kids. They were all 6 and under.
Yeah. It's different
we
now.
We had them.
It's so different now.
Yep.
Like, and we could kind of see it with our friends in their 20s too, who also like got married.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, it just makes it like, well, let's start having a family. And we didn't, how are we going to afford it?
No idea.
How are we going to, like, we didn't, but we also were like, I don't know, God
we'll
will
figure it out. Yes.
This is just, and I think that's how generations did it too. It's interesting to see what's happening in the culture right now. The average age of getting married and having kids 20, 30 years ago was in your 20s.
Right.
And now it's, for both of those things, it's in your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see another couple decades from now what the pros and cons will be of that big shift. Because for a long time in our country's history, it was just, you get married, you have kids right in your 20s.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe we can talk about that in another episode, but our story was we just started having kids.
We just did.
And believing that kids were a blessing.
Absolutely.
That God loves kids, that God loves family, and that he'll provide somehow or another, and we're just going to go for it. Take us up a little bit to like what, just because I know it's a show to empower men, but I know we have like 40 some percent female listeners.
For sure.
So give us a female's perspective on life right now. We're going to get into how to keep the romance alive, how to raise dragon slayers, but give us a little bit of a sneak peek of like, what's life like right now for you as a woman who's 40 with three kids, working with her husband, life is busy. What do you do? We do real estate.
We do real estate.
We raise kids. We got teenagers now. Share a little bit more.
Yeah, so it is a season and a beautiful season that takes intentionality and choices of choosing to be grateful and intentional with not only you, but our kids and our business every day, every moment of every day, actually, because, we're in a season right now that is just really full and all beautiful things that God has called us to. But real estate is great. I love getting to serve people. I love working with you. I mean, what opportunity to work with my best friend pretty much every day, build a business that we love and get to serve people. It's like ministry for us that we get to do that and walk through a huge transaction with people on a daily basis and help just listen and celebrate the wins and walk with them through the things and moments that are challenging. It brings me a lot of joy to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And it provides a ton of freedom for us to be able to do the things that God has called us to do in other areas, meaning homeschool for our youngest. And we've done the last 4 years of homeschool for all of them, all three. This year, we're at a moment of kind of transition. Our big two girls are in our local school district and going to the high school there and thriving and doing really well. We're in week three now and they're doing great, and our youngest is also doing really well at homeschool, and so intentional doing all of that, and it's just crazy in some moments running kids to activities and choosing to have joy in the midst of running all over the place.
Well, so talk more about that, because you're not immune to stress.
Totally.
Neither am I. But sometimes I see you, you'll talk with other moms.
Yeah.
You'll connect with them over coffee or before and after events and such. And you'll just, I can tell that they're like, oh, I could not work with my husband. I could not. I love my husband, but spending 24/7 with him.
I get that often.
And we're like, hey, that we're not saying that you need to.
Yeah.
But what, like, Claire, what's the secret? How can you stand being around me so much? How can you handle the stresses that come every day? Like just yesterday, learning about one of our kids having a stress fracture and needing a boot for next 3-4 weeks and x-rays that interrupt your day. And now we need to tag team, like, well, who's taking so-and-so to practice? Who's going to the chiropractor? Who's handling that buyer consultation? And we kind of divide and conquer.
Yeah.
But that was like, we had no idea yesterday was going to go down like it did yesterday.
Right.
And you didn't let it steal your peace. How? How did you do that?
You're my favorite teammate, and we get to do those things together. And I know whatever comes, the circumstances are not going to be something that derails our day. We get to choose, hey, let's problem solve. Let's think how we can work through this and do it as a team. Because I mean, we're in it together. And that's always been how I feel. Like, whomever is your spouse or your partner in business or anything, like having that mindset of this will never change. We are a team together and we get to face the day. Whatever it may bring, we get to do that together. So there's always a problem to be solved. And I don't know. Sure, you can do it through tears sometimes and through the joy of that. And that comes even too, but there's joy in those moments and you have to make a point to choose that.
Yeah.
I was just reading and listening to on the way in a chapter in Isaiah this morning. And it was talking about that the Lord brings peace to those whose minds are steadfast and put their hope in him.
Say that again.
The Lord brings peace to those whose minds are steadfast and put their hope on him.
Okay. Whoa. So that's easy, right? Just do that.
Oh my gosh. No way. It is like a choice every single moment.
You got to fight for it.
Totally. Like through grit teeth sometimes. And it's not always easy. Right. But I know that it's worth it because I know that he's going to provide. He's going to be faithful. He's going to show up in moments and fit, let us know like, hey, this is where I was working. And we might not always see it in the moment when the day gets like derailed and is all over the place. But you have to, like, I see it as two choices. You can either let it derail your day and be like grumpy about it and let it affect everything, or hey, how can we problem solve and figure this out together? And I think that's kind of a good environment for our kids to grow up into.
I agree. But make no mistake, I also want to like just be really honest. I mean, just this morning, I had to look you in the eye and say, hey, sorry for being an idiot. Because I acted for a few seconds, I was an idiot.
Long.
Yeah. But I kind of interrupted you. You were trying to ask something and make a point about some how we're going to take care of our kid now with a stress fracture and what the right course of action is. And so it took me like 10 minutes, but I came back. I was like, hey, just so you know, I didn't handle that well. I'm sorry. I cut you off. And here's where I'm coming from. I just want our listeners and viewers to know I have to do that regularly.
Yeah.
This is not something you ever arrive in. Like, oh, there will come a day where I'll never have to apologize to you for something. Now, hopefully I'll grow and it won't happen as often, or I won't be as loud of an idiot because Jesus is going to work on me and help me grow. But we apologize to each other quite a bit because we have to. Or we could choose not to and see how that works. Like
that would be a disaster.
Horrible, right?
Yeah.
But I think part of our story is like we have really chosen to try and see each other in the most generous, gracious light possible. And we've both, I think me more so, have been really trying to be quick to apologize, repent, own it, own your crap, own your mistakes, and just look the other person in the eye and say, sorry, I acted out of sorts there. And, you know, maybe I said something, maybe I walked away, maybe I overreact, whatever, but that was wrong. And I want to do better because I love you.
Yeah.
We have to do that regularly. Yeah.
Totally. I did have that when you asked, are you okay? And I shot back, yeah, I'm fine. Are you okay?
Because you were clearly not okay.
Where did that come from? And I needed a second to process and then say, ooh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
This is where that was coming from. This is what I was thinking. This is what I was believing. And I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me?
I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I don't know if I want you to consider this invitation or not. This is for The Forge. It's an exclusive, high-quality group of guys who are going to be pretty intense with each other. We're looking to take our game to a whole new level. And so I want to invite you, but I almost don't want to invite you. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to be talking about things like foundations for biblical masculinity, four pillars of a man's heart, the making of a leader, the utopian flaw, professional development and accountability, and a whole bunch of other masterminds. This has a cost to it. So if you're interested, email adam@forgingthepath.org. But honestly, think long and hard about this one because I'm not sure if everybody should be interested in this one, only if you're serious about taking your game to the next level. And some people might be listening thinking like, that's nothing. Like, I'm in the middle of a relationship or a marriage where we're like, we're cussing each other out. We're raising our voice. Well, fine. If you got big stuff, apologize for the big stuff.
Totally.
But I think one of the keys to keeping the romance alive is even when you have little stuff.
Oh, quick. Yeah.
Like put it in the crosshairs, kill it and apologize.
Yep.
Even the little stuff. Like don't sweep that under the rug.
Yeah.
Like own it all.
Yeah. And I know there's so many things too, as you look at the individual that you're living life with and your best friend and partner in life and business.
Yeah.
There's things that I do that are probably super annoying to you, but they're dumb things. And same for you. Like, they're dumb things. And so I need to realize, oh, this is not, like, this is dumb. Like, I forgive, move on. This is not a big deal. So learning how to, realize when just forgive and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, is it when I sometimes chew with my mouth open?
I mean, I'm not gonna talk about anything specifically, but if you wanna think about that a little bit and maybe do it less.
Well, now the kids do it too sometimes. We all get there, we're so hungry, and I could see Claire's just like,
oh, this is not your problem. This is me, because it bothers me. So I just sometimes remove myself from the room.
You
it's
do.
Great.
You do.
It's fine.
The kids will even ask sometimes, Dad, what's wrong with Mom? Like, I think we're all just eating and chewing really loudly. And
it's fine. It's not your problem. This is my issue.
I don't know. One of them. So I think the importance of telling our story.
Yeah.
I think of in Deuteronomy 6, thereabouts, God says to the people, like, he commands them to do these, like, festivals. Like, this is how you will celebrate the and commemorate these things that God has done. Mm-hmm. In your life. You were slaves, and now you're free. You're in a wilderness headed to a land of promise. This is what you're supposed to do to celebrate how God is bringing freedom to you. And they're doing these festivals. And in Deuteronomy 6, God says, if your children ask you, why are we doing these things?
Yeah.
You can bring it into current context too. Like, why do we pray before we eat? If your kids ever ask you, why are we going to church? Why do you guys read your Bible together every morning? Like, why do we do these things? In Deuteronomy 6, the Israelites were commanded, tell them this. We were once slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. He waged war against our enemies, brought us through the waters, parted the sea, and he's leading us through the wilderness to the promised land. That's why we do these things. And it's so much like our story.
Totally.
Because Izzy now knows our story, and she knows we tell it because we were once slaves.
And he's good.
And he is good, and he freed us. Like, you were once unaware of who Jesus was and how much he loved you and how much he did for you. I was once a slave, totally unaware of how good God is. And then he did something. God showed up, right? Changed our lives, transformed us in radical ways, still is doing it.
Yeah.
And so we tell these stories for our kids and anybody else listening so that they will know we were once slaves. Like, I was once looking to get drunk and get in fights and live for myself. I was once trapped in sin. I was once hopeless, borderline depressed. And then God, right? So that's why we tell these stories, right? You were once in darkness.
Totally.
And then God. And so I just wanted to share that. Like, that's why we do these segments, like telling our story for the first 15 minutes or whatever. Anyway. One of the topics I wanted to...
I mean, that's good. Can we just call it a day?
Done.
I mean, that's a great podcast.
Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, share it with all your friends.
Perfect.
No, we've got a couple more things we want to talk about.
Okay.
How do we keep the romance alive? Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of those questions I get regularly from guys. We have a coaching opportunity that I'm not going to plug right now, but through the podcast, there's this band of brothers. There's also...
It's really good.
It's so powerful. Yeah. We're going to do another season of Band of Brothers in a couple months, as well as something called The Forge, but I'll talk about those later. But I get for even from guys in our church, hey, invitations to coffee. Can I just talk a little bit? It seems like you guys have something. You got an energy. You got... vibrant, like you really, it seems like you guys still really are into each other. How do you keep that romance alive? Because not everybody's marriage is like that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, how do we keep the romance alive? What are some things that come to your mind that work for us right now? Because, like, we still are just as attracted, I would say more so attracted to each other than we were when we first got married, when we were dating. I can't hardly keep my hands off you. I love what we have, but it doesn't just happen.
No.
So what are some things that you know that we do, that we commit to, habits, disciplines, whatever, that help keep that romance alive?
I want to answer that question, but can I back up and tell a story first?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we already shared we homeschool our youngest daughter this year. And so it was maybe last week or the week before, I don't know, within the last couple of weeks, I told Adam this too. We're outside. She's like on a little bit of a break in between some subjects we're doing. And I'm trying
with our youngest.
Trying to get her back in to work on, all right, what do you want to do next? And so we're just chilling outside. We have a trampoline in the backyard. She's laying there. We're having a good conversation and we're talking about just life. And she asked me the question, Mom, doesn't it get boring to be like with the same person for like always for the rest of your life? Don't you want to switch it up? And I looked at her, I was like, no way, no way. And she said, how do you keep the spark? What? How do you keep the spark?
She's 12, by
the way. From a 12-year-old. So
it's a great question.
It's a great question.
I wasn't thinking about stuff like that when I was 12.
No way. So I was like, oh, good question. Hmm. No, I was kind of taken aback initially, realizing, wow, that's a great question. But my 12-year-old's asking me, how do I keep the spark alive with her dad? But in my head, I know, man, she needs to know this so that when she looks for her spouse someday, she can know, hey, this is the goal. This is the standard. This is what you can expect and desire and pray for. So anyway, that story. So my response was, oh my goodness, we do dates. We flirt with each other. Mm-hmm. We make out in the kitchen. Like we, all the things that were intentional. We pray every morning together. We talk about what we're reading in scripture, just like conversations and regularly doing those things. Mm-hmm. And then I followed up quickly with like all the things you see mom and dad do, right? And she kind of said, oh yeah, yeah. And then she told me, this is my favorite part. She says, if I would have asked dad that question, his answer would have been, have lots of sex.
It was so funny. I love that our kids know that.
So in that story are all of the answers to your question.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. That was short and sweet.
Anything else that you want to talk about there? Yeah,
well, let's go deeper. Okay. You flirt, make out in the kitchen. Totally. But you got to want it.
Yeah.
You've got to want it. And I think that's the first bit of advice I would give to somebody who's looking to keep the spark going or to rekindle the spark. First of all, do you want it? Because anything in life that you want, that you truly put your mind to, there will be sacrifices for. And so it's almost like you have to make the choice. Mm. And sometimes that's like with grit teeth and clenched fists.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like it, but you know that the feelings will come later. And I've talked about this with other people on the podcast quite a bit. Feelings, they're great. They make great companions. They're horrible drivers. You know, it's great to have feelings, but they should follow your choices and your habits and your disciplines and your act of the will. A lot of people put the cart before the horse a little bit, and they're like, well, they make their big decisions based on whether or not they feel like it. And that's always a recipe for disaster, because feelings are fleeting and they're going to come and go. And so what we, I think, have worked really hard on is even if I'm not feeling like it, like I want to be ready to respond to you when you need a hug or when you need a moment, when you need a listening ear, when you need just some us time or maybe just some you time. Like, hey, take your Bible, go to a coffee shop. I got things here. I got the kids. I got the dog. I got the emails. Like, I don't feel like it in that moment. You don't always feel like it when I initiate something. But we've made space for each other.
Yeah.
That it's a choice. I want to have a vibrant marriage that other people look at and are inspired by. Mm-hmm. So I'm choosing to be on fire for you. I'm choosing to be flirtatious with you. I'm choosing to love you every day, mm-hmm. you know, and express it with passion every day. And you've done the same.
Right.
So, how can people get better at wanting it even when they think they don't want it, you know?
Sure.
Like get past your feelings, especially for any women listening. What advice would you have there? Like how many times have we heard like, well, the guy wants sex more and the woman maybe isn't into it so much.
Yeah.
We have some advice. Like, well, your feelings are secondary. You love each other. So speak to that a little bit if you could, mm-hmm. just from a female perspective.
I would say even that scripture that I referenced and that I was listening to this morning, that your mind is steadfast on him, it struck me like it says your mind. it doesn't necessarily, like, there's other parts that talk about the heart and things like that.
Yeah.
The heart is driven oftentimes, I think, by feeling and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind is a choice, right? Like, you simply what you're saying, like, you do have to choose one another, even in the moments that you don't feel like it. I think the question that we've learned to ask of ourselves in relation to one another is, how can I serve this person today? How can I bless them today? How can I make their day better and easier and more full of joy and goodness? And sometimes that's a, to put the laundry in and do the laundry, fold it and do some practical stuff. Sometimes it's, we're gonna make space and time to have sex. We're going to do those kinds of things. It looks very different. Sometimes it looks like, hey, I'm going to make dinner and clean up from dinner. Because in our house, we have a whoever usually makes dinner doesn't have to clean up dinner.
Right.
Sometimes it's, I'm going to do both. Sometimes it's super practical. Yeah. And other times it's way more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I love that. And I would say, conversely, guys, look for opportunities like Ephesians 5, like lay your life down for your wife, like Jesus did for the church. And so if you're unhappy with physical romance that's going on in your marriage or the lack of it, I would ask you, well, how are you serving her in all the other areas of love? What does love require when it comes to laundry needs to be done? Well, she's been a little busy. She hasn't gotten to it yet. Hey, bro, do you know how to do laundry? Like, hey, bro, do you know how to use a vacuum? Yeah. Help your woman out. I bet she'll be more into you if you find other ways to serve her. And yeah, it's probably going to require something of you. You might have to sacrifice time or energy in another area that you'd rather be involved in in order to do that, but make the choice that she's worth it.
Yeah.
I bet if guys started doing that, if husbands, like, their sex life would improve. I'm just saying, but we hear the complaints a lot from couples that come to us for a little bit of, you know, informal counseling and mentoring and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Our advice is usually, in its most simple terms, just start serving
just
each other.
Just serve each other. Yeah. Like,
in and out of the bedroom. Just serve each other.
Yep.
Like, I promise things will get, but you got to give it some time. You got to stay the course. It's not just like, well,
I did it one day. So right. Things should be better, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So I think you got to want it. You have to make the choice. And I would, what else? You got something else? Something came to your mind, didn't it?
Well, this is maybe I'm trying to decide if it's too much to share or not too much to share.
I would say do it.
Okay. From a female perspective, right? There's serious, like, the emotional swings of a female are real.
Right.
And you live in a house with four of us.
Mm.
I'm so thankful for you.
I got the dog. He gets me. He gets, like, man to man, he gets me.
And I'm still learning. I'm 40 years old and I'm still learning how to, like, understand and manage the emotions of, like, the swings of, hey, it's kind of that time of the month and I'm cranky and ornery and I just want to eat all the fried food and nothing looks good and I don't want to clean anything and I want to just read a book in bed.
Yeah.
But when those moments come, like, no, realizing, hey, that doesn't lead the way and I still am called to, like, I'm going to submit those to Christ and, like, yeah, I'm going to serve my husband. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to do things for them, even when I feel like I could burst into tears and want to scream at someone all at the same time.
Yeah. And I appreciate that honesty too. When you forewarn me, like, hey, just so you know, next few days I might be feeling extra things. It's, and I, oh yeah. Okay. And well, that means my daughters are probably in that, like, okay, buckle up. It might be a bumpy week or two.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But I think communication as well for us, that's always been something that just being honest with each other and communicating, we've had to learn how to do that well. It wasn't always as easy as
our first couple years were rough.
Super rough.
I could tell you were bottled up in some areas. And I tend to just go for it and have the awkward conversation.
I don't like conflict and awkward conversations.
You were in avoidance
mode. But you're
mode.
Like, hey, let's just eat that for lunch and talk about it and go right there. Mm. I'm like, nope, I don't want to talk about it.
I eat awkward for lunch.
So we've had to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And it's been awesome. Not not easy by any means, but
right. Distinction.
The fruit that comes from communication, honestly, is far greater than what the other side of that equation is. And so that kind of makes me want to do it even more and have more of those, because it's so such a blessing when we push in and have the hard conversations.
Right, right. I agree. And right, like dovetailing right off of that, I would say you have to, husbands and wives should agree on some healthy habits, over communicate them.
Right.
Like, and in all areas, when are you going to talk about your money and your finances and your budget? Mm-hmm. Put it in your calendar if you have to. Put it in your planner. Is it once a week? What day? What time? Is it once a month? Cool. What does that look like? Is it booked? And do you honor that? Almost like that's an appointment I have with my wife to talk about that thing. Same thing with date nights, right? Same thing with your prayer life. Same thing with all levels of intimacy, physical or otherwise. Like, are you intentional about it? I think you got to commit to some healthy habits. I remember yesterday, I think I shared a statistic about OnlyFans. You didn't even know what OnlyFans was.
I had no idea.
Awesome. You don't need to know. None of our viewers need to know, but I'm sure a lot of them do know. It's porn. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. And wish it didn't exist, but it does. 89% of subscribers for OnlyFans, I read this the other day, are married.
That breaks my heart.
89% of OnlyFans subscribers are married. Talk about, I think the devil just loves that statistic. And it breaks our hearts a little bit too, because we've seen some really near and dear friends have to go through the repercussions of marital unfaithfulness. It just destroys lives. And that level of lust, it does no good. I just want to encourage any husbands, like if you have an ounce of that in your home, on your computer, on your phone, on your TV, what if you have even just a thought of it? Get radical like Jesus said when he said, like, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter heaven with less one hand or less one eye than to go to hell for eternity with everything you got. Those things will wreck and ruin and bring destruction to so many different areas. And so I would say just get radical. Like I've told some guys, like, sounds like you have a real issue with an addiction to lust. Sounds like your technological devices are enabling that. Would you be willing to go back to a flip phone? Mm. Is your marriage worth that? Is the love for your wife worth that? Is your children's future worth that? I think it is. Mm. Is Jesus worth that? Like, then do it. Then do it. You know, do you need to put some sort of thing on your computer that lets other people know about if you click on something you shouldn't click on? Like, do it. Get radical. Get radical. Your marriage will thrive as you do that. Some guys are walking around talking to me like, why does my marriage look like yours? It's like, well, tell me, are you walking in purity? And so I would address that. I don't know if you want to chime in on that, but like, I showed you even some of the, like, the people who will try to message me on social media and what I have to do to delete, block, report, and whatever. And I don't want it, but like, I was just like, well, how we tend to over communicate, babe, just so you know, I get these every once in a while.
Yeah.
At the slutty, skanky internet stuff, like, God help them repent if they're even real. But like, I know that is a trip for some guys. It just is a snare, and I don't want it to be at all existent in my life. So I've taken whatever radical steps I need to take so that that's gone. And I think that's the elephant in the room that a lot of married couples don't want to talk about. Usually the guys are struggling with it, but not always. Sometimes the women are too. Anything you want to add on to that? And just in terms of like, let's go big picture more. What habits have we done? What habits and disciplines have we put into our day-to-day or week-to-week rhythms so that we're intimate on all levels and we're together and you know what's going on in my heart, I know what's going on in yours, and we're together and unified?
I think the communication that we talk about, prayer together each morning, starting our mornings, it might not be right away in the morning, but like, before we jump into the major parts of our day, like connecting with one another, What's going on? How can I pray for you? What do we have today? How can we help divide and conquer? What's going on? Make sure we're aware of what's happening and how we can be prayer, just in prayer for each other. Date nights.
Yeah.
Doing that regularly.
Which I think they're, we should do more often.
For sure.
But it's really hard in this season of life, right?
Probably about once. We make once a month.
Once a month for sure.
For sure.
Sometimes we get more. Sometimes a little more, but at least never less. Yeah.
And part of that is like we have such a full calendar and schedule anyway.
Right.
We literally put it in our calendar.
Right.
At the beginning of the year.
We have to.
When we set our goals and our plans and our dreams and our hope for our family and our marriage and our life together, we put those non-negotiables in our calendar first. Because it's so important to us. Because those things do keep us connected. And I think that is a weapon against what the enemy tries to do and tries to bring in to marriage and to derail families and marriages. So putting those things in first and being intentional with it is super important. And it doesn't have to be like a super fancy, like hours out dinner. Sometimes it's, hey, do you want to go take a walk around the lake tonight or bring the dog because he's been in the kennel all day because we've had appointments and things running around all day. Let's take the dog and go on a walk and just talk. Like, what are you thinking about?
Yeah.
What is challenging lately? What are you reading in scripture? How can I pray? Like, what's something hilarious you saw on Instagram? That's usually me sharing those. makes us both laugh though.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I hope at least.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it does.
Those kinds of things, choosing one another, I think, and being intentional with time, communication, and intentionality towards one another is a weapon for the enemy to keep you connected and unified in those moments.
Yeah, weapon against the enemy. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification.
We're kind of cheap dates, right? It's nice to go to a 5-star restaurant, take your time, but I wouldn't say that's most of our dates.
No.
Most of our dates are very cost effective and affordable. It's more about the time.
Just time spent with each other.
And just the focus on, hey, we can put
yep.
the phones aside and just talk, enjoy good food or a great walk. I agree. It's more important that we connect. And here's what's funny. For the last 4 or 5 years, I've also put the daddy-daughter dates in the calendar, but not this year.
And who remembered it?
I know. Our daughters have spoken up. This year I was like, oh, they'll just happen. We'll find time for them. I didn't, back in December, plan out 2024 for daddy-daughter dates. I did for husband-wife. Mm-hmm. And I had for daddy-daughter dates for several years beforehand. This year I thought, I fit it in. It's okay. And they have not happened.
Not on
as
a
often.
Consistent,
right.
regular basis.
And our daughters are all like, Dad, we don't do this as much anymore.
Right. I miss it. That was the, hey, I miss it. Can we do that again?
Intentionality. Put it in your calendar or your planner or whatever works for you. But you have to be, I have to be intentional about this stuff. Otherwise, it'll just fall by the wayside.
You lead us so well in that, in the intentionality of making time for me and for each of our kids and
family dinners. With
that. Family dinners, all of it.
Like
you lead and put that on the calendar so well. And I can tell you what that does for a woman's heart is when I see a date night with you on the calendar, we might not have even talked about it or planned it or anything like that, but I get excited. I'm like, yes, time with you, just you. That's it. Like that makes me ready and excited. And then like, okay, here we go. Let's keep going. And same for the girls. I know they think that as well. And they love time with their dad. And you're setting the bar for whoever comes into their life to love them well and treat them well and honor them with their time and their attention.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That means a lot to me. Thank you. Yeah. Speaking of our daughters. One last thing I'd say about keeping the romance alive. I'm getting emotional. Stop it.
Dang it. So
okay. One last thing.
A little watery right now.
We've been, yes. We've been really
maybe
quick.
It's just that time of the month.
We've been really quick to forgive, to give grace. I mentioned it maybe a little bit earlier, but we're just really quick to apologize. And I think what that does is we don't give bitterness a chance to take root.
No way. Who's got time for that?
Mm-mm.
No, thank you.
No. And I think bitterness is, it's a seed that if it takes root, it becomes like this gnarly, nasty, life-killing weed in your home and in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And so we've, just because we've had conversations, people will bring stuff up. They'll bring, well, she did this last week. Well, 2 years ago, he did this. And it's like, wow, wait a minute. Like, you guys are giving lip service to forgiveness mm-hmm. and grace, but you're remembering, you're bringing it up. And in heated moments, you're throwing it in each other's face. And even in non-heated moments, when you're sitting with Adam and Claire, you're bringing stuff up almost casually. Like, well, I do this because one time he did that, and I don't know about that. Or she always does this. She always nags me, always like, whoa, hey, have you forgiven her for that?
Yeah.
Because Jesus has. It's done. Like, and you're called to love her the way Jesus loves her. I know that it feels like dying, because it is kind of like dying, but that's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so I would say one last thing about keeping the romance alive. It really helps when you don't have any bitterness and you're just quick to eliminate, seek and destroy all that potential bitterness by forgiving each other.
Yeah, a choice you have to make to say, I have forgiven, so I will not bring that up again.
Right.
Even in moments that my flesh may want to, or it comes to mind, to similar, like forgive 70 times 7 over and over and over and over. Because your flesh may want to bring that up, but no way is that coming out of my mouth, because you've been forgiven. Like, the Lord forgave me much, and so why would I not do the same for you?
Right.
So yeah, sometimes you got to bite your tongue in moments where you've chosen to forgive and move past, but then it rears its head again or whatever. Like, nope, I am not going to speak that because it's over and done.
Hey guys, I wanted to invite you to a really special and powerful coaching opportunity. It's called the Band of Brothers. We did this now for the last 6 months, close group, about 9 guys. And we meet every Monday morning in a Zoom call. It's really powerful. We go through some curriculum. We pray together. We share accountability and goals and stuff like that. Iron sharpens iron, as Proverbs says. So if you need a band of brothers, if you're looking for a group of guys to help hold you accountable, to help you reach your goals, to pray over you and your family every week, reach out to me, adam@forgingthepath.org. Get rid of the isolation in your life. Get rid of the distraction. Commit to a band of brothers and see what God can do with something like that.
Yeah, that's really good. When you said speak that, I really like that. Mm-mm. I like, because people don't know how powerful their words are, especially in marriage, especially in parenthood. And not like we're perfect at this. I'm learning as a dad, especially, like, oh man, I got a lot of areas to grow in how I speak over my kids when they're off course, you know. But to speak life, to speak truth, to claim them as beloved, and not to focus on, like, well, you're not doing this, so therefore you're disobedient.
Right.
What I should say is, like, hey, you know what? Like, you're a child of God. You have awesomeness. You have unlimited potential. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You're loved and accepted and redeemed. Let's not act like that, because that's not who you really are. That's what I should be doing.
Ooh.
Don't always. But
easier said than done sometimes.
Right. All of this is easier said than done.
We're on a path to maturity and growth, right?
How about, I've told wives, when they have a tendency to nag their husbands, and well, he should stop, like, stop shooting him instead. Because if you speak to him like he is a fool, guess what he will become to you? A fool. But if you speak to him like he is a king, guess what he will become to you? Mm-hmm. There's power of life and death in the tongue. Mm-hmm. Like, start speaking to him like he's a king. Even if he's off course on some areas, address it as if you were having to address a king who's off course in some areas. There's levels of respect there. I'm just pointing this out humbly because I want your high, and I'm going to hear what you have to say, and I'm going to pick moments where maybe I just don't bring it up right now. I'm just going to give that to the Lord in prayer, because I want you to be kingly, and my nagging voice isn't going to help right now. And there's, conversely, for husbands, like, don't treat her like she's an egg. Don't treat her like, treat her like she's a queen. How would you talk to her if she were truly, literally a queen? there would be levels of love and endearment and respect, and like you would be so gracious with areas she needs to improve because she's a queen, she's royalty. Like, don't want to misstep here. I'm entrusted with a queen, and I'm called by God to bring out the best in her. So what you speak is oftentimes what they will become.
Yeah.
So be careful how you address, especially in areas where you might want them to improve. Address them like they're royalty. That's what I would add to that. Babe, how do we raise dragon slayers? This will be the last section of what we talk about today.
That's awesome.
Right? Dragon slayers. Hmm. And I'm reminded of a quote. Here's just to tee you up and give you a second to think about it.
I thought you asked me a question.
Did you need a second to think about it? You're ready.
Go ahead. I'm ready for the quote.
Here's the quote.
But I do have something to say.
I love it. Never feel sorry for having to raise dragon slayers in a time when there are actual dragons. Hmm. And I think this podcast has mentioned it plenty. There are actual dragons in the culture right now. There's an enemy at work behind the scenes using media, using culture, using whatever he can use, influences, to hurt and harm. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy anything that's good. And so one question we were asked, Alex asked us this question, how do you overcome the fear of raising children in a world of sin and suffering? Mm-hmm. As a mom, Alex is just wondering that. So yeah. We love Alex, but what would you have to say about raising dragon slayers and overcoming the fact that we're in a world of sin and suffering?
Totally. I think, man, you're alive for such a time as this.
Ah, Esther.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are placed here and in this moment, and God's given you gifts and put them inside of you to be able to live in this moment for exactly what is here. And you get the opportunity to do that. So I would say as a parent, how to encourage them and equip them to do that. Man, we're still learning how to do that well.
Yeah.
But in my moments when I realized the truth, I would look at them and say, this is who God has created you to be. Like, you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you get to go and push the darkness back and stand for truth and good in the world. And to have them see who they're created to be, just like, I mean, the way that you're encouraging men to be all who God created them to be, I would say for our children as well, like, help them be so confident with who is beside them and never leaves them.
Yeah.
That's the Lord. That they can go into any battle in any moment and face anything because of who is next to them and who will never leave them.
Right.
Encourage them who they are, how God has created them, how they are seen, and the power within them. I'm going to share a story. We were at Mama D's, one of our favorite coffee shops, with Amy, Kevin's wife, and we were just chatting, and a sweet friend came up, and we were talking with her, and Amy shared this story of this scene from C.S. Lewis's Prince Caspian, I think, of where little Lucy is ready to go into battle, and there's just a line of warriors, and she's standing there with a butter knife. But Aslan is next to her. And she's like, let's go. Like, it kind of makes me want to watch that movie again. Like, because she is ready for battle. Because although she has a butter knife, like, not even a weapon to do anything with all of these people. Like, she knows who's beside her. And she knows there's a lion, like, next to her and within her to go and take on whatever comes.
That is powerful.
It's great.
Yeah.
So thanks for that story, Amy.
Yeah. Shout out to
and
Amy.
And the reminder.
That's a good story.
But it's great. Like, how can we equip our kids, and not even just our kids, like anyone around us, to know, man, like, you have so much more power and authority than you realize to go and push back the forces of darkness in this world. Because, yeah, there's a lot of sin and evil in this world.
Yeah.
But we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Mm. And that's something, too, to just pray over your kids and remind them over and over and over.
Yeah.
This is who you are, and this is what you've been given. So we're not even going to give lip service to any sort of fear that may come in, because where does that come from? Like, not anywhere good.
Right.
So you have power, love, and sound mind. So let's go.
Yeah. That's so, so 2 Timothy 1:7.
Yeah.
Rock and roll. I love that verse.
Yeah.
We've made that one of our like verses for our house. Mm-hmm. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. So how, practically speaking, as a mom, you probably get tempted to be afraid or to be timid or to be anxious. What things do you do to help you overcome that? Mm. I mean, especially thinking of our children.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah. Well, you say often, and I forget, you're going to have to help me remember, who shared with us like to entrust our kids to the care of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, that was Joe.
Joe.
Yeah.
So
our job was to disciple our children into the care of the Holy Spirit. He said that's one of your main priorities.
Yeah, that helps me so much when I am prone to worry or fear in the life of my kids. Mm. Like, I know that they're not mine. Like, they're given to me to steward and as a gift, and I get to steward them and point them and help them discover who they are. But I get to trust that God sees them and knows them, and I get to just pray and trust that he will care for them.
Yeah.
So in moments where I tend to worry or overthink or overplan or want to control, which is 98% of my day, I remember that.
I love that so much. And I think you and I have both learned over the years, because when your kids were young and we were in our 20s, we're like, a little nervous of like, you know, wanting to protect
wrap them in bubble wrap and never let them out of my sight. Totally.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. I don't know if we were helicopter parents, but there was certainly more anxiety that we had in terms of like keeping an eye on the kids. And there was bits of fear. I would just confess, I'd be honest, like we sometimes got afraid for their safety, how they're growing up and what habits they're demonstrating, stuff like that. That doesn't exist in our house, I would say, like hardly at all. When it is, like, we just eliminate it. But I think part of the reason is because we've, like 2 Timothy 1:7, we've really come to embrace and believe and claim, like, if it's fear or timidity, that's from the enemy. So I'm not going to have any of that. If it's power, love, and a sound mind, wisdom, like, yeah, that's what the Lord's given us. More of that, please. I'll take that. I'll accept that. I'll receive that. And I'll declare that over my kids.
Yeah.
And we know the end of the story, by the way. And so we're not going to pray from a, I don't know what's going to happen, or any of this victim mentality mindset when we think about the safety and well-being and the thriving of our children. We're going to pray like King Jesus wins. We know the end of the story. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's a never-ending ending that is happy and amazing. And that's where we're headed. We have a destiny. So why then should I be afraid? Whom then shall I fear, right? Like the Psalms say,
yeah.
If the Lord is for me, who could be against me? Come what may. And we've even coached our kids when they're afraid. When they come to us with like a fear, right?
Yeah.
What, you want to share this? Okay. Like, what if that happens? Well, then I might get hurt. Well, what if that happens? Well, I might have to go to the hospital. Well, what if that happens? I don't know. I could die. What if that happens? I die. Okay. Well, what do we know? What happens after that? I'm in heaven with who? Jesus. And look at all the angels and all the other people in heaven. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that if the worst case scenario should happen to you at any point in your life, you're going to be with Jesus in heaven, living forever without suffering. That's so the worst thing that could possibly happen to you, that's the end result. Why are you afraid?
Brings way more peace. Right?
Yeah. By the way, you probably won't die anytime soon, but even if you did, even if mom or dad did, even if worst case scenario, because they see stuff on the news, whatever, we just... Let's ride that out. Let's ride out the hypothetical situation. What if that happens? Okay, what if that happens?
Yeah.
Then what? Then what? Then what? And you eventually get to a point with a Christian worldview of like, oh, victory forever and ever and ever.
That's a sweet ending.
More beauty than you could ever imagine. Glory forever. Exuding ever-increasing joy forever and ever and ever, always. Wow. Okay. Like, why should we have any bit of fear?
Yeah.
So I think teaching our kids that over and over and over again has been really helpful for us.
Okay, one quick note on Alex's question. She's in a season of raising littles right now. Like, ones, you got to keep them alive, keep them safe, like, make sure they're not eating anything that's poisonous, like, all that stuff. Yeah. It is hands-on, and it's super intense. And that's just a season right now, and it may not feel short when you're in the throes of it, but it changes when they grow a little bit. And I'd say now we're in a season with our kids of trusting them and asking them the question. When they come to us with big issues or fears or questions or decisions, learning how to ask them, have you prayed about it?
Ooh, I love it when you ask the kids that question.
Right, like, to allow them to wrestle with, is this a good choice?
By the way, audience, that's usually met with an eye roll and a sigh.
Totally.
Like, I don't want you to think like we have this amazing, perfect marriage and family. Like,
here's the thing too. Sometimes you ask me that question, I'm the one eye rolling and sighing.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Ugh. Yeah. But it's different, and learning how to grow as a parent and coaching and teaching our kids to be raised and trained to love the Lord and to choose his ways. But we got to give them opportunities to fail and to maybe not do that well as they're learning how to do that. That's hard for me.
Yeah. Hard for anyone. Okay. Last question for the beautiful woman. TJ. Our friend, hey, shout out to TJ and Becca.
We love
you guys
so much.
TJ says this. He's like, okay, how do you get through the young kid stage well? You were just alluding to this. How do you maintain sanity as a parent with young children and still have joy in marriage and in some of the mundane stuff of life? That's a big question, but I'll give you 1 minute. I'm just kidding. Let's take that in 4 or 5 minutes here, and then we'll conclude the episode. So yeah, what do you think about TJ's question? How do you get through the young kid stage well and have sanity?
That's a simple answer, TJ. You have a lot of time with your spouse and you drink some wine. I mean, easy, right?
Just put the kids to bed and go open up the bottle of wine. There we go.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
It is not that simple.
Nope.
It is a loaded question, but it's a real question.
Although if you can get the grandparents to take the kids and then do that.
And then have a little date night and enjoy
every few
some
weeks,
beer or wine.
That would be great.
Okay. Concise. Ask his question again. I'm sorry. I got distracted.
So how do you get through the young kid stage well and maintain sanity as a parent, still have joy in marriage and in the mundane stuff that you got to do?
Okay. Thanks. I mean, being intentional with being connected with your spouse, I think, not losing sight of the one that you chose to live life with. And that is first. We have our priorities, right? Like the Lord and then my spouse. Like, you are number one and you come before the kids. I love them so much. I would give my life for our kids, but you are the one that I'm going to be with forever.
We've even told our kids that.
Totally.
Like, hey, I love you guys infinity, but I love your mom first and I love her more.
Yeah. Yeah. And they know that. Like, they just know that. And so I think understanding that priority in your brain and your amount of time that you maybe can be intentional and give to that is less when your kids are little and you have to be so hands-on and you're lacking sleep and all of it. But that, I think, in your brain and priority is huge in what it does for your mindset and then how you are a team together in raising your kids and being intentional with time and unity with one another so that you can give your best to your kids in a season that's really challenging and sleep is hard to come by in those seasons. Lots of coffee.
I mean, because we had three kids under three kids under four.
Under four,
now, our friends Luke and Nikki had four kids. I mean, Kevin and Amy, four kids. You know, we know people who've had more, and it's even more going on. Like,
just throw another one in the mix.
I think you get rid of this idea that you're going to get through it perfectly.
Totally.
Like, ignore social media. Just, it's like running a marathon through the mud and the rain and the snow. Like, how would a person look halfway through a marathon? That, like, but as long as you keep going. Mm-hmm. As long as, like, when you fail, when you have a bad day as a dad or as a mom with young kids, you're going to have many of them.
Yeah.
Many. Get the idea of perfection out of your head.
Right.
You get up the next day and you recommit to it.
And oftentimes the moments that are struggle or they feel super intense are like this much of your day.
Yeah.
But our brains explode that and think this is our whole day and it's such a mess and a disaster and the whole day is just like I should flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
When truly it was probably about 5 minutes that either I lost my cool or the kids were being frustrating.
Yeah.
And really when I think about the moments of the day that were good and beautiful, there's a lot more to be grateful for.
Oh yeah. When I was a teacher in Milwaukee, you would call me sometimes just in a puddle, like the kids are doing this and that, and I don't
for
know.
Sure.
And Izzy's in her room. I could put her in a timeout, and she's banging on the door, and Cadence is like pulling on, needing me. And I'm like, babe, I don't know what to do. In 2 minutes, the bell's going to ring. I have to go teach soccer to 40 seventh graders. Like, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
You know? And then I'd get home later.
It's okay.
Right? And we'd eat dinner. And I'd send you out of the house, go to Target, go whatever, take an hour, just you. I got the kids. I'm going to give them baths, get them ready for bed. You're going to come home, help me tuck them in. And we got through it.
Yeah.
But you kind of embrace those moments where like the kids expose your weaknesses.
Totally.
Like that's part of, I think, the sovereign, beautiful design God put in parenting. Like it too is one of the ways he makes you more like Jesus. It too is one of the ways he brings you to an end of yourself and makes you go, whoa, I got nothing. Like all I want to do is punch a hole in the wall and have a beer.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do as a dad right now. I got nothing. Jesus, please help me.
Yeah.
I think he loves that prayer. Yeah, I would love to help you.
Yeah.
Let's go. I remember we took a Father's Day picture probably back in like 10 years ago, 9 years ago, because it was Father's Day and we'd been running around all day and you wanted to like, oh, I want to celebrate. I want to post something on Facebook.
Sure, something.
And we got all the kids there and they're all tired. It's the end of the day.
Yeah.
Cadence and Izzy do not want to smile. You know, Charlie's just a baby. She reached up. I'm
so
holding
like,
her and poked me in the eye.
5, 3, and 1 yeah. at this time or something.
She got me right in the eyeball. And I'm like, oh, ow. And we're supposed to be taking this. And the post was pretty much me like, oh. And Charlie like reaching to my face. And Izzy and Kate kind of like half smiling. Like, oh, whatever.
Mom wants a picture.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
This is, that's reality.
Yeah.
And I think that is also one of the keys to success. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you spent the whole day pouring yourself out, trying to give your best to the family, lost your patience a few times, tried to take a cute picture. It turned out to be kind of a disaster, but you laid them down in bed. You said a prayer over them. Then you went and sat on the couch with your wife and mm-hmm. took a breath. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah.
Success. Good job. Get up the next day and do it.
Do it again.
Because the days seem long, but those years fly by.
That's true. What's the verse? I think maybe Philippians, think on these things that are true and noble and praiseworthy and
excellent.
Righteous and
yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like, oh man, if I can train my brain to do that, especially regarding parenting, because it is one of the hardest jobs ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally is. Mm. I would like you to end by saying a prayer.
I don't want to do that.
We'll do it anyway, please.
Fine,
yeah,
I'll submit.
You can do it.
Wives, submit to your husbands.
Oh, man, that is
Sorry.
Such a fun... That's my favorite song. When you start marching around and singing that. Oh, we could talk about submission another time.
We can talk about
time.
That another
man,
time.
That
okay.
is a trigger for some people.
I don't mind it.
Let's do this. I want you to pray specifically for parents who are just at wit's end and they're having kids and it's like life's crazy.
Sure.
And also pray for people who are in a marriage where they're like, I don't have that spark. I don't have that romance. Mm. But maybe they want it and they'd be willing to do a little fighting for it. Can you end us on a prayer?
For both of those things.
For both of those things.
Yes, I can.
Oh, I'd love that.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be your guest today.
I love you so much.
Samesies. I need a second before I pray. Sorry.
Who says samesies?
Me, I do.
Oh, that is so funny.
Okay. Mm. We have a lot of laughter and joy in our house, and I like that. Oh, yeah. Lord, I pray that is in the moments of the throes of parenting, and whether they're littles or teenagers, that regardless of the stage of parenting, I pray that you would come alongside of husbands and wives and parents, just anybody listening, that they would feel equipped by the power of your Holy Spirit to do well and to raise their children well and to find joy in the moments of the days that can be really long. But as Adam mentioned, the years fly by and they're short. So I pray for eyes to see that and for strength in your Holy Spirit in those moments that seem challenging. And I pray too for marriages, that you would empower and strengthen marriages of anyone listening. I pray you would that you would give eyes to see their spouse the way that you see them, the way that you've created them, and that you would just flood our hearts as we look at our spouses with encouragement and ways to just speak life. And I pray intentionality and to choose one another in every moment of every day, that that would be forefront in the choices that we make and in the marriage, that we would have vibrant marriages that show a watching world what it means to know a God who is good and wants relationship with one another and joy in the midst of it. So I pray that vibrant marriages would be a testament to a watching world of how good you are, because you're really good, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I love your prayers. So powerful and effective.
Whatever.
Yeah. You can't play sarcastic now.
Okay.
Look, guys, we need you to share this, to like this, to tell your friends about it, Forging the Path. We want to spread the word. And I'll also add this. If you want a conversation, email, phone call, or even if you're in the Milwaukee area, you want to grab a cup of coffee with us, please reach out. Check it out in the comments section. And you can go to our website, forgingthepath.org. You'll get my contact information there. We'd be happy to help you however we can. Make it a great day. We'll see you guys next time.